WBZH 910 AM, W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm M. Nguyen. Former President Trump's head of maintenance, Carlos de Oliveira, appears before a judge in Florida today as the classified documents case expands. ABC's Victor Okendo.
ABC News has reported that classified documents were removed from a storage closet at Mar-a-Lago. The special counsel now saying that Trump, Nada, and de Oliveira were trying to destroy surveillance video of that taking place. The indictment states de Oliveira allegedly told another employee that the boss wanted the server containing the footage deleted and asked how long it kept footage.
Former President Trump has also received a target letter related to the other case Special Counsel Jack Smith is investigating involving January 6th. Idaho mom Lori Daybell Vallo faces sentencing today. She's the woman accused of murdering her two youngest children while taking part in a doomsday cult. She faces life in prison with no chance of parole. Phoenix getting a bit of a break today after 31 straight days of 110 degrees or hotter. This is ABC News. At least four people killed in a Russian missile strike on the hometown of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. ABC's Ian Pannell.
He was struck early this morning when many people were still inside. We know that a number of people have been killed and over 40 have been injured, including a number of children. The attack here happens just one day after that dramatic drone strike on Moscow on Sunday. Videos circulating online showing the moment that one UAV exploded at an office used by the Russian government. It was the third such strike on Moscow region in the last week alone. Russia blaming Ukraine, President Zelensky simply saying, gradually the war is returning to the territory of Russia.
Concerns today about Chinese hackers planting malware on systems that control our water and power. The New York Times says White House officials think it may have been placed on networks affecting military and civilian operations. In the last few weeks, we also learned about Chinese hackers getting into email accounts in the Departments of Commerce and State. M. Nguyen, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Two people charged with felony mistreatment of animals in Burnett County in May will have to pay restitution after the court accepted a plea deal. Dorothy and Gabriel Alger had the felony charge dismissed and instead pleaded guilty to intentionally failing to feed an animal, a misdemeanor. The pair was ordered to pay $628 in restitution. According to the criminal complaint, a veterinarian found a dead horse on their farm and said that it was extremely malnourished. Bones from another horse were also found on the farm. The pleas were accepted earlier this month. One person is dead after a crash in Rusk County on Friday. The sheriff's office said the crash happened on Highway 40 near Hutchinson Road in the town of Big Bend, or about 6 miles southwest of Bruce. The crash involved a pickup truck and a semi-truck, with the pickup truck driver found dead at the scene. The semi-truck driver was treated for injuries and released. The crash is being investigated. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be pleasant, with temperatures getting to around 80 degrees, but a warm-up is coming later this week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Whether you're grilling burgers at the cabin or roasting hot dogs around a campfire, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls are a summertime essential. With so many varieties to choose from, including classic white and wheat, unsliced old fashioned, brioche, gourmet French, and flavorful onion, Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth has the buns and rolls your family will love. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth, baked locally, and delivered fresh daily.
Professor Schwaber, what grade would you give the Supreme Court for their interpretation of the law?
That doesn't really work. The grade ordinarily would be how accurately and thoughtfully and carefully have you interpreted, you know, existing precedents. I tell you what, though, if I were teaching a course in, let's say, logic, and I was asked to grade this work in terms of its coherence and its rigor, a high D.
Wow. A high D.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Monday morning, the last day of July. Outside right now, we've got 66 degrees in La Crosse, 66 in La Crosse and 60 degrees in Hayward. And last I checked in Eau Claire, it was 59, but I bet that's gone up at least a few degrees since I checked it a little while ago. I want to get to this opinion piece that's in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And by the way, if you have any comments on anything we're discussing today, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And you can also send me an email message if you want to. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu is spelled S-T-U. Of course, we're getting a new Supreme Court justice in Wisconsin. Janet Protasiewicz going to be sworn in. Tomorrow, in fact. So there's a op-ed piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. What responsibility do candidates for Supreme Court and other judicial positions have as far as the truth? How important is the truth? Should candidates for judicial positions be obligated to denounce, disavow false and misleading claims? Well, according to this opinion piece from Michael Apfeld, who I believe is a retired attorney. Let me see if I can get to that real quick. Yeah, he's a retired attorney who practiced law in Wisconsin for almost 40 years. And he's saying that if you want better judicial campaigns, you have to make candidates disavow false or misleading claims. Third parties would think twice before spending millions on ads. Their own candidate would be obligated to repudiate truth and lies. It seems like much of what we're discussing these days centers on truth and lies or mistruths. And there's an editor's note at the beginning of this op-ed piece that says Janet Protasiewicz will be sworn in as a member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court on Tuesday. She was elected to a 10-year term in April in what was the most expensive judicial race in United States history, The author of this op-ed piece wrote this in response to an Ideas Lab call for letters to the editor following the Supreme Court race. And this is what they wrote, or what he wrote. Although there is no single solution to the acrimony, big money, and partisanship that have infected judicial elections in Wisconsin, we should begin by amending the Wisconsin Code of Judicial Conduct to require every candidate for judicial office to disavow third-party advertisements that criticize an opponent in a false or misleading manner. The current code already prohibits a candidate from directly misrepresenting any fact concerning an opponent. However, the recent proliferation of supposedly independent third-party attack ads effectively nullifies the rule, allowing supporters of one candidate to spend millions on ads slandering the opponent while the candidate benefiting from the lies stands mute. It might have been otherwise. A provision requiring judicial candidates to publicly disclaim a third party's false or misleading representations likely to confuse or mislead the public was originally included in a 1999 proposal to amend the Wisconsin Code, but it was dropped. Adopting a requirement to disavow false or misleading third-party ads would serve at least two beneficial purposes. First, third parties would think twice before spending millions of dollars on ads that their own candidate would be obligated to repudiate. And second, the rule would provide a visible yardstick of integrity against which the press and public could measure both the incumbent's and the challenger's commitment to truth, justice, and fair play. A number of jurisdictions, by rule or opinion, already either require, recommend, or permit judicial candidates to take measures to ensure that other persons don't make statements on the candidate's behalf that the candidate could not make on his or her own. In broad terms, West Virginia, Indiana, and Alaska have at times required it. Oregon, Kentucky, and Louisiana have language that can reasonably be read to require it. Illinois and Montana recommend it. And Georgia, Minnesota, Nevada, North Dakota, Pennsylvania, Idaho, and Washington permit it. The American Bar Association Code of Judicial Conduct, too, contains a similar requirement. Undoubtedly, such a proposal would be met with challenges based on its supposedly chilling effect on a candidate's right of free speech. Certainly, First Amendment protections are not to be disregarded lightly, particularly in an election. But despite statements in some court decisions to the contrary, a judicial election is not just like any other political contest, nor would an obligation to disavow unduly limit a candidate's speech. Unlike any other elected office, the essential quality of a judge is fairness. Wisconsin's code requires a judge to, quote, perform all duties of judicial office fairly, end quote, and specifically admonishes, quote, every judge, candidate for judicial office, or judge-elect to always bear in mind the need for scrupulous adherence to the rules of fair play while engaged in a campaign for judicial office, end quote. Because fairness is an essential function of the office, fair conduct in the election process for that office may justifiably be required of the candidates. Standing mute in the face of a grossly misleading attack on one's opponent, particularly in an area in which the general public is so ill-informed, simply cannot be considered fair. And it certainly does not engender public confidence in the integrity of the judiciary, which is also a judge's duty to promote at all times. Nor would a candidate's right to free speech seriously be unduly chilled by questions regarding how bad a misrepresentation must be before the obligation to disavow is triggered, or how thorough the disavow must be. There's no area in the law where the boundary between what is permitted or prohibited is perfectly clear, including other areas where First Amendment rights are implicated. The important thing is to create a rule that obligates a candidate to demonstrate a commitment to fairness by repudiating false or misleading ads that seek to unfairly benefit him or her. Rarely is a judge or lawyer sanctioned for a good faith attempt to comply with an ethical rule, and knowing that there was now a standard against which press and public would be able to measure the candidate's integrity would do wonders to help those candidates determine how much is necessary. In short, judges are different than other members of government, and their special role requires not only that they, quote, accept restrictions on their conduct that might be viewed as burdensome by the ordinary citizen, but that they should do so freely and willingly, again quoting from Chapter 60, the Code of Judicial Conduct. Whether our Supreme Court, whose members are charged with establishing, maintaining, and enforcing high standards of conduct, would freely and willingly adopt this suggestion is far from certain, but perhaps, having now endured a tsunami of attack ads unprecedented in any other judicial election in United States history, they might see some benefit in a rule that will, on a nonpartisan basis, dial down the temperature, return the focus to legitimate issues, discourage out-of-state influence, and restore public faith in a badly tarnished institution. That's an op-ed piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Michael Apfeld, retired attorney who practiced law in Wisconsin for almost 40 years, saying that it's time to make candidates for judicial positions disavow false or misleading claims. After all, being a judge is all about fairness, right? We got 9:17 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Red and white, blue suede shoes. I'm Uncle Sam. How do you do? Give me five. I'm still alive.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some,
that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with a high of 81. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 57 tonight, mainly clear skies. More clouds than sun tomorrow, highs around 84. Temperatures above average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 80s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 68.
This summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late.
Yes, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. Music from Bob Dylan on a Monday morning, doing his song, All Along the Watchtower, that was made famous by Jimi Hendrix. And what people often bring up about that subject is the fact that after Dylan heard Hendrix's version, he changed the arrangement of his own version and started doing Hendrix's version. But as any Dylan fan knows, the arrangements of his songs are always changing, and you could see him a few times on a tour, on the same tour, and he will have changed the arrangement of perhaps at least a few, but probably several songs as the tour goes on. Bob Dylan, still out there and doing it, but there are rumors now that he may be winding things down. I've seen that on several different postings recently, that his never-ending tour, which started after his collaboration with the Grateful Dead back in 1987, inspired by the Dead, his never-ending tour may be finally coming to an end. And that would be bad news or sad news for all of us. But man, that dude has been on the road for such a long time, traveling the world, taking his songs out to the public. Thanks, Bob. Hey, 24 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock right now. We've got 64 degrees in Eau Claire, and in Amory, it's 60 degrees. One thing I mentioned at the top of the show, one of the headlines, elephants have been in Baraboo ever since the Ringling Brothers arrived in 1888, but they're now leaving in just a few weeks, and they won't be back. And this is kind of a sad story, but is it better for the elephants in the end? You may know that the circuses, many circuses, have dropped animals from the circuses, elephants, lions and tigers and bears. And personally, elephants are like one of my favorite animals of all time. They're so intelligent and socially oriented, family oriented. Man, that's my kind of animal. Elephants have been coming to Baraboo since 1888. After August, they won't return. This is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it was just posted about a half hour ago. It says every August, circus performers, animals, and seasonal workers leave Circus World as the Baraboo Museum's summer performance season comes to an end. But after this year, for the first time since the Ringling Brothers arrived in Baraboo in the late 1800s, the elephants won't be returning. After this season, the elephants will move into retirement at the Endangered Ark Foundation in Oklahoma. Circus World Executive Director Scott O'Donnell is sad to see them go. Quote, we've known this day has been coming for 5 years, and we've been planning for it, but that hasn't taken away the sting of them leaving, he said. He knows this marks the end of an era for Baraboo. Quote, elephants have been here since 1888. When you get off the interstate, there are elephant images everywhere in town, on the fire hydrants everywhere, he said. They're part of the DNA of this community, end quote. And he's touched to see how that community has come out in force to bid farewell to, quote, the lovely ladies, including at the recent annual Big Top Parade, where honorary grand marshals, elephants, Kelly and Viola, were given a historical and emotional standing ovation. But does O'Donnell think that the elephants' exit will spell the end of the circus? Not by a long shot. Quote, the death knell of the circus has been rung ever since it first started, he said. When we went from horse-drawn wagons to trains, they thought that was the end. When we stopped exclusively performing under big top tents, they thought that was the end. And when some French-Canadian fire eaters had a vision and created Cirque du Soleil, they said that was the end. But there's still room for all of these things in the circus. Circus arts are so nimble and able to react, and that's what's exciting, he said. So, sad news, there won't be any more elephants in Baraboo, but maybe that's best. I don't know. Do you have an opinion on that? Feel free to call 715-388-7155. I'm going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK, has a new starting lineup. 1215, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Former President Trump's head of maintenance, Carlos de Oliveira, appears before a judge in Florida today as the classified documents case expands. ABC's Victor Okendo.
ABC News has reported that classified documents were removed from a storage closet at Mar-a-Lago. The special counsel now saying that Trump, Nada, and de Oliveira were trying to destroy surveillance video of that taking place. The indictment states de Oliveira allegedly told another employee that the boss wanted the server containing the footage deleted and asked how how long it kept footage.
Former President Trump has also received a target letter related to the other case Special Counsel Jack Smith is investigating involving January 6th. Idaho mom Lori Daybell Vallo faces sentencing today. She's the woman accused of murdering her two youngest children while taking part in a doomsday cult. She faces life in prison with no chance of parole. Phoenix getting a bit of a break today after 31 straight days of 110 degrees or hotter. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Two people charged with felony mistreatment of animals in Burnett County in May will have to pay restitution after the court accepted a plea deal. Dorothy and Gabriel Auger had the felony charge dismissed and instead pleaded guilty to intentionally failing to feed an animal, a misdemeanor. The pair was ordered to pay $628 in restitution. According to the criminal complaint, a veterinarian found a dead horse on their farm and said that it was extremely malnourished. Bones from another horse were also found on the farm. The pleas were accepted earlier this month. One person is dead after a crash in Rusk County on Friday. The sheriff's office said the crash happened on Highway 40 near Hutchinson Road in the town of Big Bend, or about 6 miles southwest of Bruce. The crash involved a pickup truck and a semi-truck, with the pickup truck driver found dead at the scene. The semi-truck driver was treated for injuries and released. The crash is being investigated. The National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says today will be pleasant, with temperatures getting to around 80 degrees, but a warm-up is coming later this week. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. With the end of summer just around the corner, make sure to enjoy it at Amory Theater and Coffee Bar. Go to AmoryTheater.com to see all the current movie showings and to rent out the theater. Amory Theater and Coffee Bar, open Tuesday and Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Thursday to Sunday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Such a drag to me. woman left and she didn't say why. Well, I guess I have to try. Many rivers to cross, but just where to begin? I'm playing for time.
Yes, 9:35, almost 9:36 right now on this Monday morning. Jimmy Cliff doing a great tune, Many Rivers to Cross. And I have updated temperatures here for us. La Crosse, 67 degrees. Hayward now at 64 degrees. And on this last day of July, I wanted to mention something that I saw in the news about a reference to the Grateful Dead by a judge in New York. It does seem that deadheads, fans of the Grateful Dead, are everywhere these days. I think, I've mentioned on this show before about the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, being spotted at shows by Dead & Company over the summer. And now there's a judge in New York who is using lyrics from the Grateful Dead at a court proceeding. Was this last week? Yeah, it was last week. So I have a story here from the Washington Post. It says, judge blasts New York's bail overhaul mess by quoting the Grateful Dead. Judge Jeffrey Zimmerman highlighted what he called the confusing mess created by New York's new bail statutes. The story posted this morning at the Washington Post says, when it came to highlighting the confusing mess created by New York's attempt at bail reform, a judge invoked the power of rock and roll. Literally, he said, quote, maybe you'll find direction around some corner where it's been waiting to meet you. Bronx criminal court judge Jeffrey Zimmerman wrote in an opinion last week, quoting lyrics from the Grateful Dead's 1970 song Box of Rain. He went on and said, clearly the bass player and lyricist of the Grateful Dead have never read New York's bail reform statutes. Instead of direction, the statutes provide judges with obfuscation and legislative sleight of hand. The Dead-infused court decision meant to explain why Zimmerman reduced bail for Edward Santiago, who was charged with attempted murder and gun possession and was initially held on a $335,000 bond. But it also offered a very truncated history of the state's attempts at bail reform, with Zimmerman laying out the inconsistencies found in a system that prohibits judges from considering community safety when setting bail, while simultaneously requiring them to do so when it comes to alleged violent crimes. In New York, the statute overhaul came in 2019 when the state moved to eliminate cash bail for most misdemeanors and some nonviolent felonies. When it came to qualifying offenses or more serious crimes, the law mandated courts to find the least restrictive alternative to ensure a defendant's return to court. The idea was to stop punishing poorer people who can't afford to post bail while they're awaiting trial, and to address racial disparities in the criminal justice system. Soon after, though, the state's legislature began weakening the law following outcry over public safety. And then, since 2020, the law has been amended three times to add more bail-qualifying crimes, including violent felonies, sex offenses, and terrorism charges, and most recently to remove the least restrictive alternative provision, something Governor Kathy Hochul touted in April as a way to give judges, quote, more authority to set bail and detain dangerous defendants, end quote, who may be committing other crimes after posting bail. The result, however, has been a Swiss cheese of a sanction, said Elizabeth Glazer, former director of the New York Mayor's Office of Criminal Justice, because it's a confusing and opaque system with a free-for-all for standards. Quote, we need a clear system in which everybody knows what the factors are that are being used and what the true reasons are, said Glazer, who now heads Vital City, a policy journal that addresses public safety issues. And she went on and said, states like New Jersey that have done this thoughtfully and carefully and have provided judges with the right tools have seen reductions in their detained population and reductions in pretrial offending. Zimmerman's July 24th court opinion, she added, masterfully highlighted that we don't have a rational law and it makes it virtually impossible to write a clear decision. So she's talking about the opinion that included the lyrics from the Grateful Dead's song. In explaining his reasoning in setting bail for Santiago, Zimmerman, the judge who cited the Grateful Dead, said he considered the combination of factors required by the law, whether Santiago is a flight risk, whether he has a criminal record, and whether he allegedly caused serious harm. Santiago is charged with weapons possession and firing a gun at three men in an incident that was captured by video. An attorney for this gentleman, Santiago, declined to comment in court, though. She argued that Santiago didn't cause serious harm because the bullets missed their intended targets. Zimmerman found that Santiago is a flight risk and that his alleged actions caused serious harm, but balanced those factors with Santiago's lack of a previous adult criminal record to ultimately reduce his bond to $200,000, though Zimmerman's use of the Grateful Dead was reduced to a lyric from Box of Rain. There's another song in the band's repertoire that touches on their run-ins with the law, Truckin', from the same 1970 album, American Beauty. That song immortalizes the wee hours of a Saturday in New Orleans in 1970, when the Grateful Dead were infamously busted down on Bourbon Street and arrested on drug charges. It would take a couple of hours for their manager to arrange a combined bail of $37,500, equivalent to what the band had earned for the previous night's gig. The charges were eventually dismissed. The Grateful Dead stayed around for two extra nights, one of which was used to raise a bail fund for other artists who might face a similar situation. Interesting story about judges citing the Grateful Dead lyrics on the bench. And I guess if you're looking for some words that may help to define the situation, yeah, it's always good to consider the Grateful Dead as a source. At least that's my personal opinion. And the next thing I want to get to here before we take our next break is e-bikes. Do you have an e-bike? Do you know anybody with an e-bike? They seem to be a pretty good idea, right? It's a bike, but it gets you there faster than a regular bike. It says here, it's a dangerous combination. Teenagers, accidents, expose e-bike risks. This is from the New York Times. The e-bike industry is booming, but many vehicles are not legal for teenagers. Accidents are on the rise. This piece in the New York Times by Matt Richtel, and it says, reporting from Irvine, California, updated yesterday, July 30th, says on a Thursday evening in late June, Clarissa Champlin learned that her 15-year-old son Brody had been in a terrible crash, the latest teen victim of an e-bike accident. He had been riding from home to shot putting practice. The e-bike, a model made by Rad Power, had a top speed of 20 miles per hour, but his route took him on a busy road with a 55-mile-per-hour limit. While turning left, he was clipped by a Nissan van and thrown violently. Ms. Champlain rushed to the hospital and was taken to Brody's room. She could see the marks left by the chin strap of his bike helmet. I went to grab his head and kiss him, she recalled, but there was... I don't want to read this over the air. She describes his injuries in detail, and I'm not going to subject you to this. And in fact, before we get on with more of this article, might as well take a break. 9:45 right now, you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
The Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media.
608-819-8255.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Mankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies this afternoon with highs around 81. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Mainly clear again tonight. Lows dip down to about 57. Daytime highs approaching 84. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Temperatures a bit above average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the upper 80s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 69.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Trucking, got my chips cashed in. Keep trucking like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep trucking on, on, on.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings.
Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means, and just won't let you be.
You meet on the streets speak of true love. Most of the time they're sitting and crying at home. One of these days they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone.
Chugging like the doodah man once told me you got to pay your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down.
Show Grateful Dead, busted down on Bourbon Street, set up like a bowling pin. And that's the song we were talking about earlier when we were discussing the fact that the judge used lyrics from a Grateful Dead song last week in discussing the bail issue that New York State is facing right now. This is the final segment of the show. I wanted to get back to the story that we were discussing before the break. E-bikes, electric bicycles, definitely a good idea. And for adults, at least, it's a great way to get around, right? It's like a bicycle, so you don't need all of the licensing and stuff that you need with a car or even a motorcycle, but they can be very dangerous because they're going faster than an ordinary bike would usually, and there's some power behind them, right? You can turn the throttle and they take off. They might only have a top speed of 20 or 25 miles an hour, but for a kid, and imagine a 15 or 16 year old kid on an e-bike, and you know, kids just want to push things to extremes. Seems to be something that most kids want to do. But just before the break, we were discussing this story. And this is in the New York Times with a headline of a dangerous combination. Teenagers' accidents expose e-bike risks. We were discussing a woman in California whose son had been hurt in an accident. And that was in June, 15-year-old boy. And also, there are other examples of accidents. Just after she had to go visit her son in the hospital, 3 days later, another teenage boy was taken to the same hospital after the e-bike he was riding collided with a car, leaving him sprawled beneath a BMW, hurt but alive. According to the police, the teen had been seen driving recklessly and was found to be at fault in the days following. The town of Encinitas, where both incidents occurred, declared a state of emergency for e-bike safety. The e-bike industry is booming, but the summer of 2023 has brought sharp questions about how safe e-bikes are, especially for teenagers. Many e-bikes can exceed the 20-mile-per-hour speed, speed limit that is legal for teenagers in most states. Some can exceed 55 miles per hour, but even when ridden at legal speeds, there are risks, especially for young, inexperienced riders merging into complex traffic with fast-moving cars and sometimes distracted drivers. Quote, the speed they are going is too fast for sidewalks, but it's too slow to be in traffic, said Jeremy Collis, a sergeant at the North Coastal Station of the San Diego County Sheriff's Office, which is investigating Brody's accident. The investigation is ongoing, pending a medical examiner's finding. So this is something that we are going to have to address in the coming months, years. Kids are being hurt pretty seriously on e-bikes. Should we make some changes, some requirements, lay down some laws? Maybe so, right? There are regulations on when teenagers can drive cars and when they can drive motorcycles. Maybe it's time we do so, a similar thing for the e-bikes. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everybody. We've run out of time, and I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. And by the way, tomorrow is the beginning of a new month. It'll be August. And on the first day of August, it's Jerry Garcia's birthday. I bet we'll do some celebrating of that tomorrow. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in.
Hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded.
These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic ABC Media app.